Hi, and welcome to the Diablo podcast. I am your host, Xanth, and my co-host, Nineball, is not here today because he has a job. I am, however, joined by the one and only Fighting Cowboy.
Hello, good to be here.
And
Talk some Diablo.
in homage to Cowboy, you're gonna ditch the road and go right to the
Sun's
tech
out,
job.
guns out, baby.
Let's do it.
Summer, gotta bring them out.
It only seems right that we do it this way. And we are brought to you by purediablo.com, your home for Diablo, an ever-growing Diablo community, an expansive wiki, and of course, this podcast. So, Cowboy, I'm a huge fan of all of your work. However, I understand there are probably people watching and listening that may not be familiar with who you are. So, who are you?
So I am a variety creator first and foremost, very much true variety as well. Not like I play Fortnite 90 days a week and then slap a variety in every now and then. Like I do pretty much every major AAA release that comes out, I'm gonna cover. I regularly do indie nights where I'll get like four or five indie games in a group and just plug through them real fast. Like half an hour look at this, half an hour look at this. So a very ADD channel. So I'm playing a bunch of different stuff. I guess I'm best known for the Souls games. When I started my channel, I always found it annoying that everything is called gameplay walkthrough, just because it fits into the SEO very well, even though none of it is an actual walkthrough. And I like get stuck on something and then look up a walkthrough and it's somebody that's doing it for the first time, and I'm like, this isn't a walkthrough. This is you playing blind. And so I started actually doing that. I started like going through and playing with Souls games in particular, just because of how obscure and difficult they tend to be, and take notes on like where to find all the items, what strategies I would use to approach a zone, approach a boss, and then make like actual walkthroughs to guide people through those. And I think that's probably where my channel got built up the most.
I think most of the platinums that I have for any Souls game are courtesy of you, because when I got stuck, go back and watch. I run a lot on the treadmill, so I would also like, Bloodborne was probably the one that I watched the most. I'd be like, watch a couple episodes, and then go play. Like
Progress, yeah.
now I know where I'm going. Now I know what I'm doing. So thank you for that. I'm sure there are plenty of other people out there that also feel the same. Now, it's not just doing a couple of guides. You're very popular on YouTube.
Or what, 1.2 at this point? Let's see.
Yeah, million, which is absolutely insane. As a side note, like when you are going in and streaming, you're putting out content, and you have that kind of a view, like where you know you're going to reach that many people. How do you deal with any sort of nerves or stress around that?
Honestly, I don't really have any. I don't know. I've always just kind of kept doing what I'm doing. I think especially because, with being variety, I'm not gonna see 1.2 million on everything, and especially being a Let's Play channel, on average, like if I'm episode, for example, I played Dredge recently. It was like an indie fishing game that came out. Really cool concept, highly recommend it. And on average, I would get, I don't know, 10 to 15,000 views per episode, which is, half a percent of my sub base. But that's kind of how a channel of that size works. And then I'll do, a Souls game will come out and I'll start seeing the million an episode. But then on an indie game, I won't. And so you kind of come to terms with you never really expect, like, I'm going to see a massive turnout on everything just because it's not going to happen. So I've never really felt like those nerves, I guess, just because, you're going to get what you're going to get. And I like to try to keep a level head. I know we were talking earlier, pre-podcast, how like we both had stuff going on with our kids that we had to take care of. And I think that's the to me, that's the important thing, is like, yeah, I like, doing the channel and playing the games, but at the end of the day, family comes first. I still have the day job. It's part-time these days, but I still keep a day job just for the health benefits. So I think it helps keep you grounded instead of kind of going off the deep end of like, well, streamer money and cocaine and strippers, and it's Because there, I do know people that are they've embraced that lifestyle, and I mean, I'm 35. That's I'm too old for that shit. like oh no, let's just get a cigar, let's get some scotch, and we'll just hang out a little bit. And
I think that's an interesting perspective to kind of hear too, because I think you can look and you can see a big number like that, and then also to realize like no, you know, you kind of need to keep it grounded. Question for one of our mutual contacts, Jen over at Window Central. She asked just like how you're able to put out as much content as you are having two kids.
So a big part, I think, is schedule management and time management. So like, to be fair, right now I'm on paternity leave, so I don't need to worry about the day job. But when I do have that I've managed to get towards full telework and part time. So like I would do the day job from 8 to 1, go to the gym for about an hour, come home, dinner, time with the family, maybe a stream before bed. So usually Saturday and Sundays are like my big recording days. So I get a bunch of episodes done. If we have like, you know, we're going to the zoo or something, obviously that gets prioritized. But that's usually it, is like I kind of just sacrifice weekends. Another big part right now, at least, is we have our older toddler. He is just starting like pre-preschool. Mainly just to get him, you know, all the kids that were born during COVID, they don't have as much social skills as like, you know, you or me did growing up, because for a longer time they were away from people. And so it's like, it's actually a big thing right now. A lot of the kids that were born right around that 2020 timeframe, they're like slightly behind on language, slightly behind on communication. And so we're like pushing him into I don't want to say it's like a daycare. They basically, he just plays with other kids all day and they talk and do activities and whatnot. So that's giving me a lot of time to record. And while the wife is taking care of the newborn, to be fair, I'm lacking certain facilities to handle the newborn. So that works out. But yeah, it's just it's really tight. And I'm also I'm very, very like by like 15-minute increments almost. Like nothing I hate more is when somebody is like, yeah, we're going to do something at 2. And then it's like 2:15, 2:30. I'm like, sorry, we're not doing it anymore. You've wasted half an hour. I got other shit I got to do. Like I can't. There is no sitting around. So yeah, it's a lot of time management, and I'm a very so like most of my life I was on like Adderall or Ritalin for ADHD, and I got off all of that stuff mainly because like my resting heart rate was like 110 or something, like way higher than it's supposed to be, and I'm like, maybe this isn't doing good.
Yeah, that's God.
Yeah. So, but I think it's worked out because all the like go, 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 go that your brain normally has when you have something like that, I've just put it to the channel. And so I actually have like a, you know, yeah, there's 100 different things going on at once, but to me that feels like normal speed. So it's, you know, I guess a good way to utilize that extra chaos, or I don't know how to describe it.
No, it makes sense to me. And I think I definitely agree with that. Like if we're going to do something at a certain time, let's go with it. Let's do that. Yeah. I hate to waste people's time, right? No. I'm not worried about mine as much, but other people's, like today, you know, we're sitting here, we're chatting, and the last thing I want to do is waste your time. Right. And I want to take,
I mean, and
I know I'm not, because yeah. This is fun. We're going to have a good chat, but that's always been my mindset of like, let's do this thing. Let's not wait around for him.
Yeah.
So speaking of which,
like, hang on, so I have a cat that will not shut.
Don't worry, we have an editor, Rush. This is where you know you can do a little cut, because we'll transition.
Well, now he gets to. This is Jack, and Jack likes to sit outside the door and howl until you let him into the room. And now he's going to probably howl in another 2 minutes because he wants to leave the room. But that's life with
my cat. My wife is, she works from home and she's upstairs, and our cat will just hang out up there. Has no intention of coming downstairs, which is kind of nice. So as we talk about a transition, let's talk Diablo. That's why we're here, right?
Let's do it.
You said before, you know, predominantly known for the Soulsborne series, for guiding people like me to Platinum, which I still brag about. I don't mention that you got me there, but brag about it. Let's talk Diablo, though. So what is your history with the Diablo series?
So one of the first PC games I actually got, technically it was the second game I ever owned on PC, was a original Blizzard battle chest, the like Warcraft 2, Starcraft 1, Diablo 1 chest. So played Diablo 1 growing up. Then Diablo 2 came out. Obviously, that consumed a massive, massive amount of hours. Fair amount of like healthy role play. Remember like Battle.net role play back in the day? You'd have like deck space battles with people. Did some of that. Diablo 3 came out, played it at the disaster of a launch that it was. Played it all the way through the update to where like it was actually good, but by that point, I kind of think like the ship had sailed. So I think it has like it has a healthy following still, but there's still a lot of sentiment out there. People are like, oh, Diablo 3 was the worst thing ever. And I'm like, oh, actually, you know, it's kind of it cleaned up pretty well.
Right.
And then, of
Yeah,
course,
you're right on the split. There are two camps. We have a very, ardent following for Diablo 2, and Diablo 3 has it. Like, there are people now who are going into Diablo 4 who've only played Diablo 3. Like, they didn't grow up in that time. So there is that strange dichotomy within the
It's
community.
interesting because you see it the Reddit crowd talking about loot is like, you know, your Diablo 3 only people like I played for like an hour and I only had two legendaries and it's like, oh, you don't want to know what Diablo 2 farming was like.
So I play I'll play Diablo 2 while I run, and I've been stuck in Nightmare for like 2 weeks, just trying to find gear to proceed to hell. And I'm okay with that. Like, that's still fine to me, but I can definitely understand if you only grew up on Diablo 3, that being more problematic.
It's a different well and Diablo 3 is very it's turbo loot, you know, it's go, like, you know, classes are actively ranked lower because your main damage ability you need to stand still to use. Whereas Diablo 2, you know, it's a completely different ball game. So it'll be interesting to see where Diablo 4 falls, because it does feel like it's to me at least 4 feels like it's going to be a good blend of both games. I really like that we're seeing, you know, specific skill-based boosts make a return. I like that a lot. But at the same time, I like that we still have a little bit of that faster gameplay that we had in 3. Not quite as turbo, it's still slowed down,
Right.
but it's you know, just I don't know, it feels better, it feels more modern. It doesn't have that like awkwardness that 2 sort of still has to it.
There's a fluidity to the
Yeah.
combat, which I think is a great carryover from Diablo 3. So when you were playing in your Diablo history, what class did you gravitate to the most?
It would it'd be a toss up between either Necro or Barb. Cause and you know, you've played a long time, so maybe you can remind me here. For a long, long time, I don't remember if this was like an early Diablo 2 beta thing, but you know how like Bone Prison ended up as just a square around people? I swear that back in the day, didn't Bone Prison come up and clasp them similar to how Diablo as a boss in 2 does if he gets you with that CC?
So originally, like bone wall and stuff, it was built like a straight line. My
Oh,
earliest real
Bone Prison. I remember it used to be like
oh.
a rib cage that wouldn't close them. And I've always wondered that. I'm like, is that just a fever dream and it was always Diablo's ability and I thought the Necromancer had it, or did the Necromancer used to have that before it turned into just the 4 square bone walls around somebody?
To the best of my knowledge, like, and Necromancer is not my class by any means. I don't know. That's a good question.
Well,
For anybody,
that's a question, and it's a question for the viewers,
anybody
being the
listening,
longtime Necromancer.
this is your chance to inform Cowboy here of the history. And actually, this would be perfect. The
History of Bone Prison.
co-host would know, but he's not here. He's got a job, which is just silly. What are you doing? This is where we need you, Nineball. This is where we need you. So Necromancer and Barb. I'm not surprised by the Barbarian. I'm not surprised, given all that I've seen, that
It's
you would
just
gravitate.
it's simple, man. It's a simple smash stuff dies. I always like the variety, especially in D2. I really liked the potential of berserk builds, especially once you start getting into resistance-based enemies. Berserk was very much like, don't care, like you're gonna die no matter what, doesn't matter to me. Which was nice because a lot of classes I feel like you'd kind of gravitate into a build and it's like, oh well, you know, you went too much frost, this guy's frost immune, or you went too much lightning, this guy's lightning immune. And Berserk felt like, I'm going to ignore this mechanic completely and still murder you.
I got burned out on Barbarian. So the original Diablo 2 beta, like open beta, was Barbarian only. So I just played the crap out of that, like a 16-year-old me just as a barbarian surrounded by other barbarians. And then I just never wanted to go back to the class. I overdid it, essentially. And I was too enticed by Necromancer and then by Druid when that finally ended up coming out because it was just shapeshift and stuff like that.
I will say I miss Javazons a lot, because even with the like evolution of like the Demon Hunter and the Rogue, there was man, something hit different about Javazons. Just the lightning fury and the way you're just like, ah, it was a different vibe of that female archer-esque archetype
I think
that I don't think we have really right now.
you hit on something like in Diablo 2, like they created these different archetypes that we just hadn't seen before. Like Necromancer at that time, a pet-based class, completely revolutionary, and then a Javazzan as well. How many characters were we seeing where the emphasis was on throwing things, right? Throwing javelins, creating lightning bolts across the screen. Everybody would expect that from a wizard, would expect to be able to shoot lightning or something to that effect. But to see it on Amazon was pretty awesome. I haven't gone back and made one in a while, but I'm relatively enticed now. Granted, in a week, I probably won't be doing that.
Time is going to change.
Yes. So when we were talking a little bit pre-show, you've got a lot of history with Soulsborne and streaming and running that. Not as much with Diablo. What happened?
Well, and to be fair, I've played Diablo a lot, but with the when Blizzard started kind of shifting. So I mean, I obviously I mentioned Blizzard War Chest. I grew up playing Blizzard. They were, as when I first started gaming as a kid, Blizzard was the pinnacle. Blizzard was the best company. Everything Blizzard put out, I loved. I was a huge World of Warcraft fan, played through the expansions, played a ton of StarCraft, played a ton of Warcraft 2, all the mods on Warcraft 3. And then like we started, I don't know, I guess for me it was right a little bit after the beginning of Overwatch. I feel like things started to just kind of shift, and we saw HOTS make this Heroes of the Storm. We saw this shift to like HOTS 2.0, which I was like, this game didn't need loot boxes. It was fine. And then Blizzard's like, actually, we're just canning the whole fucking thing. We'll keep it alive on life support. And it just exists. It still exists. I've been playing it recently while waiting for Diablo. And then there was the whole like taking away prize money from Blitzchung thing, and then all the sexual harassment lawsuits that were coming out. And eventually I hit a point where I was just like, this was right around the time that like after Hardcore Bros had wrapped up, I was like, I'm just not playing Blizzard shit anymore. And so I'd still occasionally play Diablo 3 for a while. Diablo 3 was still, it was like my bedtime game, just because you're so turbo in that game. It's a good, as long as you're not playing on hardcore, it's a little dangerous. But like I could very easily farm myself to sleep in Diablo. But I decided I just wasn't going to cover it. I wasn't gonna, support until I saw like a turnaround from Blizzard or a big change. And then the news of the Microsoft acquisition, I was like, all right, well, a lot of the shit we've seen go down, that's obviously Microsoft's not gonna play that game. They're gonna come in, they're gonna clean house, they're gonna hopefully get Blizzard back to the name I grew up with, the Blizzard that I remember, loving everything about them, and bring them back up to where they used to be. And that's obviously gone through some rocky sales. I think that's still gonna happen more than likely, especially after the recent round of approvals. And then I played the Diablo 4 beta, and I was like, wow, this is actually like really good. And after, like Warcraft 3 was a perfect example. I loved Warcraft 3, the map customizability. And then we saw the Reforged launch, and it was kind of like, fuck is this? Like,
Right,
what are you
right.
doing here? And then it was like Overwatch 2. It's Overwatch, but with a shader swap. And it's like, come on, man. And then Diablo 4 actually came out, and it's like, well, not even out yet, but just the beta. And it's like, holy shit, is this is like OG Blizzard. Like, this is actually fucking good. Like, what, you know? So it was definitely a bit of a turnaround to be interested in it again. But you know, between the fact that it actually looks, and to be fair, I have heard the latest WoW expansion is like a really nice return to form. I've heard that from quite a few people. MMOs just don't really happen with kids. There's just no time.
Absolutely. It's like a second job. And I think you echo on something that is super important within, I think, a lot of gaming communities around Blizzard. There are a lot of people who were dissuaded in years past, be it from the Warcraft 3 remaster, like you said, with BlizzChung, the sexual harassment lawsuits, all those kind of things. You're right, like they do impact our viewing of the company, but you hope that things are moving forward, right? That it's not just lip service that gets paid. Like you can be excited for the game, but also hope that the behind the scenes isn't as messy as what it had been before. Because yeah, it's hard to support things like that, right? So it is definitely a hope that as they're pushing Diablo 4 out, that things continue to get better and they build back that trust, right? Yeah, I had those fears too, obviously, when it came to Diablo, of like what it could be, and all the stuff that had happened. And it's not to say that Diablo's like creation has been perfect so far. But right now, it's starting to shape up, right? With a week to go, we're seeing a lot of good things, hearing a lot of good things behind the scenes, and it's easy to be excited again, right?
Yeah, you want to be. It feels good to be excited about something, and especially I feel like, you know, you're in even a more unique position than me here, because at least with variety, it's easy for me to look at one franchise or one publisher or developer and just be like, you know what, I'm not playing those games for now. I'm gonna work on other things. But like, you know, especially the people like yourself who are ingrained in Diablo. You know, it's you can't just say, you know, Blizzard, you fucked up. We're not covering Diablo anymore, because you know, you are Diablo. This is what you
Right.
do. So yeah, it's even more of a, like, you know, harder just feeling.
Yeah. Well, but to be fair, we were doing this podcast way back during the rough days of Diablo 3. So I think we can handle whatever's coming our way. I hope. So as we kind of transition into Diablo 4, so you are making a return. What you have a lot, right? You said you're moving into variety. What place do you think Diablo 4 holds for you as you kind of go forward?
Primarily a stream game. I mean, I know for Souls and whatnot, I'm known for build videos, and I think I'll probably dabble in build videos a little bit. But the thing with Diablo, at least with three, and I don't know anything about the four end game, but at the end of the day, Diablo is a game about math. You know, I know you think slaying demons, but like, oh no, it really comes down to that Excel spreadsheet and running numbers. And so, like, you know, I'm sure I'll come up with a couple builds that are fun to level with, but like at the end of the day, you know, Riker, Icy Veins, those guys, they're gonna have tier lists done, figured out. You know, this is the build for Barb, this is the build for Necro, et cetera, et cetera. So I plan on streaming it a bunch because I think it's a great. I don't think I don't never think of Diablo as an episodic game. You know, like a let's play Diablo. There's not enough. No, I'm just. I don't want to play it for 30 minutes. I want to play it for like 3 or 4 hours. So mainly I'm going to be streaming it, probably a few builds here and there. And then hopefully the big thing people are asking is the return of Hardcore Bros. So hopefully we can coordinate that and get that going again.
Yeah, so explain what is Hardcore Bros.
So Hardcore Bros was me and two of my buddies. Eventually I did it with a different group of friends as well. But the idea was we started on Diablo 1, and then we went to Diablo 2, Diablo 3. And the idea is we were playing on hardcore, and if one person died, back to the start. Just back to the start of that game, thankfully. But really, really interesting, because like I obviously have Diablo experience. They did not. remember my one friend, he hated Diablo 2, and we had made it up to Act 5, and he fell asleep and died. And I was like, I was livid. I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "It's class. I can't do it." I think he was playing like a, God, was he playing like a Hammerdin or something? He's like, "It's just one button. I just can't do this." And I'm like, "Well, then pick a different class. Like, don't. We're literally almost at the boss." But just a really cool concept, you know, because you're playing with buddies and you're getting heated and Diablo 3, it got a little spicier because, you know, you have like monk dashing and healing people, trying to keep people alive and whatnot. And I had my other friends that never played, like standing in lava pools and shit. And I'm like, fuck, please, like I'm asking for the bare minimum here, man. Don't stay into the fire. But it's honestly, and it's something I recommend if you got like a couple buddies, especially if some aren't as familiar, because you know you get four veterans that are all gonna play hardcore, you're gonna steamroll that shit, obviously. But you know, get something like you, your buddy, and your wife all together, and be like, all right, here's the deal. We're going through hardcore. If anybody dies, we go back to the start and we plow through again. And it's a really fun concept because you're constantly looking out for each other and a lot of like sharing loot and promoting like, you know, whatever we can do to help each other survive. So it's a really fun thing to do.
So nobody else on this podcast plays. I am the only one. So if you need a spot, if you need somebody, I'll be one of your hardcore bros.
I mean, we could bump it up to four. It's usually been three, but we could add one
I'm
more.
just I'm just saying, I've got nothing but time. I'm a teacher and it is summer and I'm ready.
Whoa. So you're fucking ready. It is prime time for you.
Yeah, this is it could not have lined up any better for me. So I'm just putting it out there, cowboy. You don't have to, but I no, I think
We
it's an
would
awesome
have
idea.
to we'd have to we have to pull from some real beginners though, because you said you mostly play hardcore.
I only play hard.
Okay, so yeah, if it's you, and then I have hardcore experience, but I mainly play, like I said, bedtime game. Hardcore and bedtime games don't blend. But with the two of us, I'd have to, I don't know. I got some people that they're pretty bad at Diablo that would probably make it entertaining. So we could probably pull something off.
All right, well, I'm gonna now tell everybody that that's happening, so expect
It's
it.
on the books. It's too late. It's already.
I was watching, I shared pre-show, I was watching it a little bit last night, and it was very enjoyable. It's just a fun concept. Now, here's the better question. Do you incorporate alcohol as well for the classic drunk core?
We didn't. To be fair, I know this is ironic because I'm drinking a beer during the podcast, but I don't drink that much. I just came from lunch. I had two beers at lunch. You know, mentioned pre-podcast, I have like a kid birthday party, so in 2 hours it's going to be screaming kids and baby shark for 2 to 3 hours. So a little bit of a buzz is probably expected. But these days I don't. I used to actually do drunk throughs. Like after I would do the playthrough and the walkthroughs of Souls games, I would do this thing called a drunk through where I made a character. His name was Biggest Dickus. He always had a big fucking sword, and he used faith spells. And the whole thing was just me doing co-op with fans. Boss died, finish the beer. You died, take a drink. And you know, I would get pretty schwasty. Like there were back in the day, there were streams we used to do it with shots. Like boss died, you take a shot. Obviously, that did not last long. Because even just finishing a beer, I mean. You know, every time you die, you take a sip, and every, you finish the boss, you chug the beer. Like, it adds up. And ultimately, you know, drinking to that extent when you have kids, and also when you're in your 30s, the hangovers hit different. You know, it used to be like
Yes.
I could go out pounding, get home, two Tylenol, glass of water, sleep fine. Now, man, I drink like I used to, and I wake up and I'm like, I am dead. Call the will. Let me sign away my house. Like it's. So I don't really drink that much anymore. I like a good buzz still, obviously. But it's harder to drink around content with children, honestly, just because like right now, even right now, if my wife's like, you know, we gotta go. Like right now, something happened, kid. You're like, oh, okay. So these days, if I'm like drinking with friends, usually it's, you know, the wife's spending the night with her parents over at their house and bringing the kids so they can see, you know, Nana and Pop Pop. And I'm like, okay, I am responsibilities off the list. I can get a little schwasty if I want. And it's hard to do that with content because I don't want to be like, okay, every Friday you're going to Nana's, you know. Daddy needs to get drunk by himself at home and hang out with friends in Discord. It's so, yeah, these days I don't.
Yeah, that is significantly harder with children because you're not on your schedule anymore. You're kind of on theirs. So, yeah, I feel like all we're doing is cementing that you're a good dad here, Cowboy.
It's just that's a good impression to leave, right?
Right? There's nothing wrong with that. So as we, you know, kind of talk about plans, you did get a chance to go in and play on the Server Slam. What was your reaction? I mean, you got to come back. You've played all the other Diablos.
There was a lot of like weird angst, I guess, I was seeing. Like general sentiment. People were like, oh, it feels so nerfed. And I'm like, feels good. I got to 20. I had like, I think, 3 or 4 legendaries on my class. Things were running smooth. Things felt smooth. Honestly, the hardest thing about coming away from Server Slam is I'm even more indecisive on what class I want to play at launch. At first, I was like, I know what I'm doing. And now I'm like, I have no fucking clue. It's just all up in the air again. But yeah, I was, Server Slam's got me pretty much like, yes, this is, you know, 100%, we're on board, but looking good. Let's go. I'm ready for launch.
And out of, you said you're kind of indecisive at the moment. Is there a class that you absolutely will not play?
No. I mean, over time, I'm going to play all of them.
Well, yeah.
I think it's the standard Diablo experience. But so, like, initially, I was going into it thinking Necro, because, you know, Necro's my old flame. But one of the big things I'm not... Are we good to move on full Diablo 4 at this point? Is there anything else we want to...
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You know how in 3 we can actually command our skellies? I feel like Necro suffers not having that now, because a lot of fights, especially against the boss... Like, I got 2 skeletons fucking off in the corner. The one is over there eating a sandwich. And I'm like, hey, yo, come on. Everyone attack the boss. And they're doing their own thing. And that takes away from it. I'm like, it feels weird to be the pet-based class when all of my pets are just dicking around doing whatever they want. And especially your active skelly button just kind of heals them or summons a fresh one. Whereas Druid, which I replayed during Summon Sam, I'm like, oh, I can actually tell my wolves to go over here. I can have, and the carrion, did you play Druid in Summer or Server Slam at all?
So I didn't play Server Slam. I was a little busy. I had an ultra marathon that day, but I did play the 2 other beta weekends, and Druid is like my main. That is the class I'm going.
There were some notes about pet buffs. So I made a Druid with the intent of, let's see what a pet Druid's like. And it's fucking good. Like really good, like carrion, dude. You'd pop the, like, I can have a crowd, you know, not elites, but just a full crowd of enemies hit the carrion, everything's rooted and a full health bar is bleeding out. And then so I'm like, oh, okay, this is what a pet class is supposed to feel like. My carrion has AOE, my wolves are jumping and attacking stuff, and I can actually target enemies with it, and it felt good. So then I was kind of leaning towards like, well, if I want a pet class, maybe I do Druid. And then besides that, I like Barb, but I know I'm going to play Barb at some point. But the biggest thing for me is I am a PvP player.
Okay.
Looking forward to that. And from a PvP perspective, I don't know. You might know this. So the Barb, since you have 4 different weapon slots, does that equate out to just 4 stat sticks, or do you only get the stat bonus from your active weapon?
Well, no, you get all of them.
Yeah, so that's... I mean, 4 weapons with crit, that's an extra 20% crit your Barb's rocking right there. So,
well, in tandem with that, you also get any sort of legendary power that is affixed to those weapons.
Yeah.
So you have more slots to do more cool things as a Barb.
Yeah. Which that's a pretty big consideration from a PvP perspective. And then Rogue and Sorceress, obviously both of those are... You know, has there ever been a game where the wizard and the rogue are bad at PvP? I don't think so.
No, you know? Not that I'm aware of. As long as I don't have to be a sorceress all the time and do teleport everywhere, I think I'll be okay. It's my least favorite class because of that.
That's the thing with sorceress is from a PvP. So. First beta test I played Sorceress, I actually had a complete blast with it. Was really liking it. I like their class unique about how you take a spell and essentially pick up an elemental augment from it. I really liked that concept. That was fun. But even then, on the PvP side, I mean, Teleport and Ice Nova are strong. Undeniably. Instant movement to wherever I want and a hard just snap second route. That's big. And then Rogue, obviously, I mean, bad situation, disengage and stealth away. Good situation, open on somebody, stun and put a bunch of damage into them. So I'm really torn because I know I'm going to be going hard on PvP and getting sweaty. And that's the big toss up for me is from a straight, like, I want to have a fun pet experience. I think Druid's the pick. From a PvP pick, I think there's really strong points to Barb, Rogue, and Sorcery. Whereas that Druid and Necro, I don't feel like they'll be as strong in PvP at launch. Just looking at some of the Druid moves, like, I like the lightning a lot. Little bit of a random hit pattern. You don't want randomness in PvP. You want, hit connections. Bear and Wolf, it's just, I don't know, you're kind of lacking mobility a little bit. And Necro, you had some blood stuff, but besides that, unless you're good in catching somebody in a bone prison or something with Necro, like I said, your skeletons are fucking off eating a sandwich in the corner, so those aren't gonna really help you all that much.
You hit on something too. Like, there are class mechanics. Like, a druid has the Book of the Dead, which I would
Necro's the Book of the
imagine.
Dead.
Necro. There's my brain. To be fair, I've still got a little bit of COVID. That's why. That's why. I don't make mistakes. It's fine.
Brain fog, it's okay.
Yeah, that's it. But with the Book of the Dead, we might find later on that the minions are a little bit more adaptable or a little bit smarter. I don't really know. I think the PvP aspect is interesting to kind of think of, because kind of like equating it to Souls. What's the level that people are going to PvP at? What is that target?
Max, I'd assume max.
But think of old school Diablo 2. There are a lot of people who like to deck out their character right away at, when was the earliest you could duel? Level 9?
Yeah,
Right?
1920s, basically.
Yeah. So you would just hang out right outside of town.
I mean, I think there's gonna be a lot of that, but obviously I think end game is gonna be, which I am interested to see the return because I remember Diablo 2 PvP being quite fun. I remember 3 being a veritable shit show. I haven't touched Immortal, but I heard it was also basically a shit show. I hope it's, I mean, from what they've shown, the like open world roaming and killing people. Sounds like the perfect Diablo pasta right there.
And for the first time in 20 years, when you kill somebody, you will get their ear again, which is the ultimate trophy.
I mean, I was more a fan of killing him and taking all their shit, but that's a
I mean, that is cool too. I don't think that's gonna be possible, but to at least get their ear will be pretty sweet. I'm again going all hardcore. I'm going to be avoiding PvP as best I can.
Yeah, no, hardcore and PvP are for the sweatiest of sweat lords, mixing those two things together. It's not usually a combo you want.
I'm very little intention on that. So you mentioned with D4, predominantly doing more of the let's play. There were questions kind of around build guides. Like you did mention you want to put together build guides and stuff like that. Planning, goes in to the creation of the build guide and then like putting it all together.
So typically the first thing, of course, is just an idea. What do I want to do? And that extends beyond class. So like if it's doing a let's just use Necro for or you said are you maining Druid or Necro? What do you think you're
I'm
gonna be?
going 100% druid. Like, I've been
Okay.
druid since the
So
first day I saw
perfect. With Druid, we have our four archetypes already. You have like your nature, you have your stone, you have your bear, and then you have your lichen. And so, first you want to have an idea. What's the basis of this build? Am I making a bear druid? Do I want to do a summoner druid? Do I want to do an elementalist type druid? And then once you do that, it's looking at all the different legendaries and, where are my best synergies? What is going to, work the most potential? Is there a specific move that I know I like this the most? I want this to be my spender, and then you pick that slot and then you build out around that. Or is there a general theme that you want to stick around? Because a good example is you could have a whole build in Elden Ring where you have one weapon. For example, Godslaying Blade. You pick that up and you say, I want to make a Godslaying character. He's going to use Godslaying Blade. Okay, well, what else is going to synergize with that? And then you have your basis and you expand out. Or it could be the reverse. You could say, well, I want a Godskin character. He's going to use the Black Flame and the stuff. What are the weapons for consideration that would work with this caster build? Godslaying Blade has a pretty high strength and dex requirement. Maybe you want something that's lighter weight and go more of a cast emphasis. But so that's the big thing for me with builds is kind of getting an idea. Now with Diablo 3 and by extension Diablo 4, I think we've seen a shift where you have an idea of what your build is, and then you get a legendary that's like quadruple your bone spears, and you're like, okay, change of plans. We are now a bone spear build. So that it's harder to really settle upon a build while leveling, I think, because it's going to be dictated by one, what legendaries you're finding, because those effects are generally too monumental to pass up, like way too significant in terms of like kill speed and density and all that, and how much you're clearing. And the other thing is, until you're end game and you can really, start on the grind and figuring out what you want, it's to an extent you got to work with what you get. I think that's the name of the game in Diablo. You don't know you're going to get a specific item, and so you need to be ready to adapt. But yeah, once you're end game, that's where I'm going to come up with an idea and roll with it. And I think I did this a bit with Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter, very similar to the Diablo in the sense that mathematically speaking, there are builds that are the most optimal, that are going to push the highest tiers of content the fastest. They're not necessarily always the most fun. And so I think that's where I'm going to more focus my build guide content on is I wanted to have a druid build that was all about, me using the pets, but with a strong elemental focus. So like while I'm calling down lightning, my pets are going out and attacking everything. Sounds like a really fun build from a conceptual level. And so that's the kind of stuff I want to do build guides around, I think.
Yes. To use an Elden Ring build guide as an example, like when you're putting one together, like how much time does that take you?
I think a big part of it, so there's a certain time commitment that's kind of incalculable, and it's just the amount of, well, it's the part of the game, because there's
Right.
the more you play the game, the more you have, especially with something like Diablo, knowledge of all the different legendaries, the innate knowledge of what each different passive does, as all that becomes just knowledge that you have, innate knowledge, and you know immediately in the back of your head different things, it makes things significantly easier. At that point, you can say, all right, we're sketching out a build that's going to do XYZ, and you already know what pieces you're going to pull into it. And it's the same thing with Elden Ring. Like with Elden Ring, if I was going to make, say, a strength faith build, I already know a lot of the strength faith weapons. So I'm going to go to my box, I'm going to yank those weapons out. I'm going to usually respec for the stats I want to hit for that build, and then I'm going to test those weapons. I'm going to look, all right, what are my R1 swings? What are my R2s? What are my rollings? Do one of these weapons have a unique attack that the other one doesn't have, even though they're both great swords? Sometimes the great sword is a step in poke, sometimes it's a step in swing. And then once you find I like this. This move set feels good. This feels different from something I've done before, so it's going to feel fresh. That's kind of what you start rolling with. But to actually like put something together and get it up and running, I'd say you could do that in 3 to 5 hours. Really one stream, 1 to 2 streams. If you're averaging 3 hours a stream, I would say. But the hard part is just the preparation knowledge, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Makes sense. So a question off of Twitter from Diablo 4 News and Updates. What skill and aspect combo have you enjoyed the most so far in Diablo 4?
Now, aspects being.
So like the legendary aspects, like the
Okay,
so
okay.
your whatever skill and then like the fancy legendary power that makes it better.
So I'm gonna choose based on beta. The first beta I got the Hydra Legendary. That was so much fun. I love Hydras. I actually never played the Hydra build in three, even though I've heard it's actually pretty solid now. But that was good. But I'd say the one that stood out to me the most, I got a poison trap aspect for Rogue, where when I was in stealth, I could put down multiple poison traps, and then upon exiting stealth, they would detonate. And up until that point, Rogue was just kind of an okay-ish class for me, and I wasn't really vibing with it that much. And then I got that, and it was like I would stealth, and I'd be like boom, 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 and then open on something, and the whole screen is just covered in poison. Everything is melting, and I was like, wow, this is fun. This is so. I would probably give it to the. I would give it to that one. I think that was the one that it felt way more dynamic. Because some of the ones I got, like the Necro, where it's like your Blood Nova goes off twice. Hooray!
That doesn't
But
change too much, but yeah.
yeah, but you going stealth and putting down four different traps that are gonna all detonate simultaneously. That's a fun change. It's a very dynamic change and shift in how the class plays.
No, absolutely. And when you find those build altering kind of items, it is exciting, especially on your first playthrough. Speaking of which, I mean, how blind are you gonna go in next week?
I
Is
mean,
it?
absolutely. Like fully, aside from what I've experienced in the betas, fully blind, not looking up guides, nothing, just playing through the game. When I'm off stream, playing through the game. When I'm on stream, playing, just playing through the game.
I do have a massive respect for like in your walkthroughs, and it's for a player of your caliber, it is fun. I went and I was watching the Dark Souls 3 Nameless King fight, and you died, I think, two times during it. And it would have been so easy to like edit that out and like make it, but no, you left it in. And I think that's awesome. Like, I think it's awesome
I
to
think,
see, like, hey, you're not always going to be perfect.
but I think that's important too, because I think when, well, one in a let's play, like if I'm dying for like an hour, eventually I'll edit out deaths, and I'll just tell people, I'll be like, all right, I've been at this an hour and a half, y'all. Hopefully this is the last attempt, and I finally get it, and I'm like, thank fuck, this is done. Because I don't, there's no point in an hour and a half video of just deaths. But I think the big thing for the walkthroughs is like, especially when you're trying to teach people, I think you need to teach them that it's okay to fail. No one wants to watch a guide. Here's how to kill the boss. Watch me do it flawlessly. You should be able to do this too. If you can't, you suck. That's not helpful. You want, you're gonna struggle. You're gonna make mistakes. Not everything is always gonna be a perfect run. I think it's okay for people to realize that.
And it's also super helpful to see the best way to get back to the boss. Like, oh,
Yeah, exactly. It's educational.
right. So I definitely do appreciate that. I think that it's much more fun to see something real as opposed to super manufactured. And where can we find you? For anybody listening who wants to go and be a part of your journey through Diablo 4.
These days I'm pretty much just on YouTube. So just Fighting Cowboy. Pretty hard to miss. There's not a lot of fighting cowboys out there these days.
And you stream exclusively on YouTube, correct?
I do. I moved from Twitch about 3 years ago now. Don't miss it though. I'm streaming. YouTube streaming is honestly unreal right now. So get this. I'm using they just updated to like where you can use the AV1 codec. So I currently put out 1440 stream that looks as good as 4K pretty much, and I'm using an 8 megabyte bit rate. Which before that I was putting out 18 and still doing 1440, which is was just it looked great before, but the fact that I was able to more than halve my bit rate and get the same potentially better quality, I'm like, this is, I love it. Which nothing against Twitch, but just being able to do 1440 4K streams, and the fact that I'm primarily a VOD person, so not having to export a bunch of streams over ends up being really nice. Because like if I do make Diablo guides, I can have one playlist that's build 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 or stream 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 stream. Here's the build video. Stream 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 stream. Here's the build video. So people can get to see the process behind making stuff as well.
And I will say it is super easy to go and search through your channel for exactly what you're looking for, having had to do that before. So I can definitely see the nicety of being on that particular platform. So as we kind of get to the end here, what are your last thoughts about Diablo 4 and Diablo in general?
I'm just excited to see like a return to form of what looks like it's going to be a really solid game. I'm excited to see PvP return in what looks to be more than just a, brawl fest that we had in three. More than anything, I think I'm just excited to just lay in bed and play more Diablo because it's, like I said, it's been my bedtime game for a while, but there's only so many times before it's build roulette and like, okay, what class and build am I running this time? And you've done it all. So it's just, I'm excited for just something that's fresh, really.
It is exciting. I mean, we get a new Diablo game like once a decade.
Yeah.
To like go in completely fresh with no knowledge and just experience it. Because the game's going to be figured out within 2, 3 weeks. But for those first couple weeks, it's going to be real exciting and it's going to continue.
Yeah, that golden period, and then eventually DLC and new characters and.
Right. Well, we do know, so the first season will launch mid-July, and that will include some sort of new experience, some sort of addition, seasonal theme, and then we should be getting seasons every 3 months after that. So
Yeah. Do you have any theories on the first class you think they'll add?
my running theory is it will be a mix of a paladin slash Amazon. We need a holy class, so I think it'll hit a lot of these molds. And what I have said before in previous podcasts is I think within a year we will see it.
Yeah, I think it'll be the fusion sounds cool. I figured for sure there's going to be some type of holy class. I think it's a paladin crusader. I don't know if they might go more of like a priest archetype, move away from the combat, but there's an obvious need for a holy class, and there is not one at the moment, so.
Correct. It's we didn't have it in we had it kind of in the Monk in Diablo 3, but then we got the Crusader as the expansion character. It's a niche that appeals to a lot of people, that does
I mean,
feel
the whole Holy
majorly lacking.
Crusade against demons, it's kind of the.
Right. It does seem kind of odd not to have, but I do expect it to be out within a year, because after a year I feel like that's when you want to draw more people back in. Here's our new class. Here's the one that you've been really looking forward to, that we missed, and then we come
Wouldn't
back
mind.
in.
I think like an assassin Javazan type fusion. That could be kind of cool. Or like maybe like a huntress, like she uses traps and a javelin, kind of jungle themed or something. I don't know. That could be a neat one.
As long as they keep adding to it, that's all I really care about. Mainly because I have the class I want to play. I didn't get a druid in 3, so as long as I've got it in 4, I'm going to be totally fine.
It's week away.
I know it is a week away, so I'm very excited. And I'm excited to see what you put out as well. June 1st, we'll tune in on YouTube to Fightin' Cowboy.
Before we know it, man. So
I
it's crazy to think it's that close.
So by the time I assume Rush will probably put this out in a day or two, so by the time people are listening, it'll be even closer. It'll be even closer. So that is awesome. I think the only thing left to do is close it out as we always do with a moo, moo, moo.
Oh.